Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this September the 2nd on the West Coast, and now September the 3rd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, and we hope you keep spreading the word about the show. Well, before we bring on tonight's guest, just want to mention that there have been a lot of people questioning whether or not Nisara is real. And if you have some time, I'm not going to read a piece. It's quite lengthy, actually. But there is a piece written by Mr. James Rink, R-I-N-K. And he talks about the whole concept of Nisara and how it came about. And certainly there are those that are fighting against it. Much of the financial corruption in the world is an attempt to overshadow what Nisara is doing. So, again, if you want to look into that, I suppose you could Google Nisara and then James Rink. And he's got quite a piece written on that. Goes back to the actual signing, what brought it about, and what we've endured ever since. With that, I'd like to bring on tonight's guest. He hosts his own show on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com. The show is called A Marine's Disquisition. The website is amd.elequity.com, and if you haven't heard of this gentleman before, you will now. Former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977, my good friend Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show. Well, Drew, are you there? I think Drew's having trouble with his microphone, so we'll hang in there and give him a chance to get that repaired. Well, maybe I should read this piece while he fixes it. There's been a lot of email going on.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, I can. You fixed
it. Ah, we finally found out what was wrong with the microphone. We've been working on it for the last 4 minutes.
Welcome to the show, Drew.
I'm glad to be here. I did a show out of Russia just before your show, and we had to hook up some extra wires to run a translator on another computer. So when I was talking, I wouldn't overtalk the translator. And we had an interesting 2 hours in Sochi, Russia, in Simferopol with a live show from the United States over there talking about the financial world and the possible coming collapse here in the United States. And people around the world, they've got the fact. They really know what's going on over there. It's unreal about the Greece is just about ready to change governments. The people there are on pins and needles, and we talked a lot about that.
Yeah, I listened to your show today. You had Bob Chapman on the first hour, and as usual, he was laying out what he sees going on, what's happening, and he hasn't changed his tune, has he?
No, and I believe it or not, I've got some recordings from him from 2008. That I've been going through those archives, and my archives are free, so, you know, and that I have a recording history. I'm going back 5 years, and I ran across a January 2007. That's 3 years ago. And was he on point? 3 years ago, he said that he doubted that the United States would make it to 2011 with its currency valued where it was in 2007. And this is long before Obama became the president. And he made another little commentary that he felt that at least one, if not two or three pig nations, and ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about pig and a cow in a barn. We're talking about pig nations of Europe. They're referred to as Portugal, Iceland, Greece, and Spain, and Italy. The pig nations, he felt that at least one of those nations would collapse and government would change, and maybe two nations would fall financially, possibly three. What are those nations? Again, we're looking at Greece. Greece is on the verge of a major catastrophic arrest of the government. We're talking about the people are fed up of the elitist at the top, Don.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about to, as we would say in Louisiana, kick posterior and take names. And
yes.
That's what they're about to do. And they're going, those people over there, there's several of the parliamentary governors in Greece. I learned tonight from a caller into the Sochi Russia show. It's really tomorrow morning there.
Mm-hmm.
And early morning, it was an early morning show, 6 a.m. over there when we broadcast. And this caller made the comment that several of the parliamentary governors are packing their families and getting them out of Greece quietly. Many of them have moved their fathers and mothers out of the country on the pretense that they're on vacation. And now their wives and children are going on vacation. They have school over there, ladies and gentlemen, just like we have school here in the United States, only their school doesn't start for another 2 weeks, 15th of September. They don't have a lot of the holidays. They have more holidays than we do, but then they go, their beginning of the year starts on September 15th and goes all the way through to June 15th.
Their school is pretty August. Grueling, too.
Huh?
Their school is pretty grueling in comparison to what we have here.
Big time.
So
they've got the hierarchy are probably walking around pins and needles. They're trying to hold it together. But the military, we're talking about the enlisted ranks in the military in Greece. They've had enough. And within the next 3 weeks, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in Greece. Iceland, they've changed their government in the last 6 months. Bob Chapman predicted it. They would change that things would change. Germany's government changed to a more right-wing but anti-American. Spain is on the verge of a catastrophe, collapse. Great Britain has changed. The monetary system in Europe is about to collapse. There's in some European countries, and we'll give you an example, point blank, Germany. If you're in Germany and you want to take the euros all look similar, if not identical, with the exception of a little box on them that says where it was printed from. And if it's printed in Germany, no problem. Your euro is good as gold in Germany. If it's printed in Switzerland, well, Switzerland's not part of the UN, but there are euros that are printed in Switzerland from Liechtenstein and Belgium, the Germans take them.
Yeah, you said Switzerland is not part of the UN. I think you meant the EU.
EU.
Yeah, that happens.
And
that sometimes too.
But the Germans will not take an EU dollar from Greece or from Italy.
Now there were some rumors a few months ago, Drew, that France, Italy, and Germany were reverting back to their original currencies.
Italy has already
They're back up to zero?
Ready to go. Italy does not want to be part of the EU currency system at all, period.
Yeah, it's been nothing but what we have here. It's just like the Federal Reserve. Same thing.
Exactly. And these neocons here in the United States are trying to force the United States, Canada, and Mexico to put up with one currency. I used to look at some pictures of the Texas boy. I thought, you know, he walked around with the little microphone attached to his back, and a little earpiece in his ear telling him what to do. I was looking at some pictures, and a lot of times the cartoons would show him with set up as Mad Max on from the Max from the Mad Max newspaper, the cartoon character. Well, there is a picture of Obama out today. I mean to tell you, the guy looks like, and he looks like Mad Max more than anybody. I literally just fell apart. Those of you that,
you're talking about, I think, Mad Magazine.
No. Mad Magazine. I call it Mad Max.
Mad Max.
Mad Magazine.
Okay.
I should clarify. People should, because most of us in the Marine Corps, we know who Mad Max is. It's Mad Magazine.
So you're talking about, is that Alfred E. Newman?
Yeah. On the Money News, they've got a picture of Obama, and he looks like Mad Max from Mad Magazine. With his mouth open, you know, talking. And obviously, ladies and gentlemen, if Obama's lips are moving, he's lying, big time. And he's getting a little upset now because there are so many Democrats that are trying to – Democrats in the Senate and the House that are trying to cover their backsides and divorce themselves from this mad, long-legged, short-legged Mac Daddy, depending on what picture, depending if he's got his high heels on, he's short-legged, and if he's got his high heels on, he's long-legged. the Democratic Party representatives in the Senate and the House, they're jumping. They've been jumping ship the last 3 weeks. Now that six U.S. senators. Former Democrat senators have lost their primaries. They're lame duck senators right now. They don't answer to nobody anymore. This is a little flaw that we've got in our Constitution, ladies and gentlemen, that needs to be refined by those of us that believe in the Constitution as a limitation of power. We have senators now that have been dethroned, six, in their respective elections for the primary of their party, for their party. And their party now has six new Democrat wannabes running against six Republican wannabes, or for lack of another word, shysters. 63% of the Senate is lawyers. Did you know that, Don?
I thought it was even higher than that.
No, it's only 63. Oh. I counted them today. Well, I counted them. I went across it yesterday with Dr. A. Truott, and then today I went in and went down to the long-distance phone call and called in to a friend of mine there at the Senate building. And no, don't even ask, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to tell you who I have there, but he told me that 63 senators are full-fledged lawyers, and all of them but one has a Esquire plaque in their offices.
Now,
isn't that intriguing?
Yeah, in regard to those lame ducks that you were mentioning, do you have the names and or the states they represent?
Well, the big one is Alaska. Murkowski, she is now out. Joe Miller beat her in the primary up there for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, I'm aware of that one.
I do have those, but I wasn't prepared to give those. You know, I figured everybody knew who they were or would go out and do their dealing, but I do have those.
That's why we have you on the show, Drew.
Yeah, get Drew to get out there and do all the work.
No, I know what it's like. You got so many things on your plate, and to try to remember all these things, you go crazy.
I really wasn't gonna talk about them because that's why I didn't have them listed up.
You know how to remember who they are? Write an article.
Now that's the good thing to do. You know, I don't have time to write articles. I'm trying to keep my life going. My bills need to be paid, and I'm out here. I've got two laptops here. One belongs to somebody that's a friend down in South Texas. Another one belongs to a friend up in Illinois. And I'm doing everything I can to get those fixed so I can get some money, because the money they sent me with the system, they're in envelopes. I don't touch that money until I repair their system and then put it back in the mail to them. That's where I go from there. I'm trying to go through my files here.
Well, if it's an imposition, don't worry about it.
I've got a couple of more here. Just a second. I do know that what's her face, Murkowski,
mm-hmm.
from Alaska. She just gave out. I mean, she just gave up her attempt for a recount.
I had heard at one point that she, I think she was behind by some 2 million votes or something. Is that correct, or am I?
She was behind by 2,400 votes.
Hmm.
They had she was behind 1,500 votes. They had 2,700 ballots that were absentee ballots that hadn't been counted. And then the Republican committee, I'm sorry, from Washington, D.C., sent their lawyers to Alaska to help her do the recount. And over the course of 3 days that they were there, they discovered another 7,900 votes that hadn't been counted. And Joe Miller started saying, "What's going on here? They're trying to steal this this campaign here, this election." And he called the National Committee, the Republican National Committee, up and said, "Hey, look, man, you get these people out of here. I'm going to file some major suits and bring some harm." And all of a sudden, the lawyers packed up their bags on Monday. There were still some left over. Volunteers for Joe Miller had come forth, and every precinct in Alaska had 2 to 4 Joe Miller supporters making sure the ballots were counted properly. In 2 precincts, the ballots were counted 9 times because the pro Murkowski supporters wanted them recounted and certified over and over and over. And every time they got recertified, Murkowski picked up 5 to 10 votes.
Now, were they using paper ballots, Drew?
They were using paper ballots on the absentee.
See, now you got to watch out for those hanging chads. That's
ain't that the truth? A big time. Now, make a long story short, it finally came down that they were looking for the absentee military ballots. In Alaska, military ballots are allowed to come in 15 days after the election is closed to be counted. That's where the 7,900 more ballots were being looked at.
Uh-huh.
They were military ballots. But the military was voting 3-1 against her in the early counting.
Yes.
Like she only picked up 300 votes on the first 1,000 ballots that they had counted, and she saw the writing on the wall and just threw in the towel yesterday. So that is an incumbent senator that's been voting with the Democrats in the Senate and turning tail several times on some major voting. And Joe Miller is a strict 100% constitutionalist, big time. Let's see, who was it? One of the closest races out there was Senator Irk Wells, a Democrat who was facing a challenge by a former South Charleston South Carolina mayor, and the unions in South Carolina were supporting Rob. Mayor Rob against Senator Wells. And Mayor Rob beat Wells. Now, that's a South Carolina senator. Eric Wells was defeated. Wells won the nomination by West Virginia Wells. I've got all my notes here, and it's hard for me to read when I've got them all blown out of the way here. Greg Tucker defeated longtime Senator Randy White, and I don't know who this guy is. Senator Frank Dim and Senator Randy White were the two that were ousted from the United States Senate. Frank Dim, D-E-E-M, and Senator Randy White. You know, it's hard to get all these senators' names down.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know where they all come from. I don't have any. I'm just looking at some notes here, going through these notes that I'm looking at. Blanche Lincoln is possibly going to lose her election. Joe Lieberman lost his August Democratic primary.
Is he going to switch back to Republican again?
Possibly. Possibly. So, you know, we've got to do something about our electing process. My personal viewpoint is I don't feel that anybody should run in office and stay more than one term. I figure a U.S. congressman, okay, we give a congressman the opportunity to go and serve 2 years, but I feel that 2 years is fine. U.S. senators, let's cut this BS down. Cut the U.S. Senate down to where they're elected every 4 years maximum. I mean, instead of the U.S. Senate changing hands every 2 years, let's put the United States senators in for a three-year term and rotate them out every year. One-third of the Senate goes out of office every year. I think that would be, in today's society, we have the means of communication and the means to count paper ballots. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, how many of you have gone to the university and you had to mark your questions out, A, B, C, D, and E, and you had to mark them with a number two pencil or a black marks a lot. Usually they use number two pencils. In my day, in the number two pencils, there was no mistake. Okay? The cheat sheet, there was no cheat sheet. It was the teacher had a template. Lay it down there, bam, see what all the ballots were. Why can't we do that again? In India, Don, there's 1.38 billion people in that country. 800,000 people voted in their presidential election, and they counted all the votes, had them in and tallied in less than 24 hours. Hand ballots. Hand ballots. Paper. Why can't we do that?
Obviously, they're using better paper, and they don't get the hanging chads, for one thing.
Ah! Well, they don't use punches. They use a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
You go over into your booth, and you mark who you want. There's a square box, and you have to mark that box, fill in the box like a crayon, like you're doing coloring. Then you fold your paper ballot from top to bottom, and then from left to right. Okay, so you've got a square sheet of paper. And then you take it up and you put it in a ballot box. When that ballot box in that precinct is full, there's three opposition parties. One member of each one of the three opposition parties takes that ballot box over to a room and they sit down where there's two people from each one of the parties that count the ballots in that precinct. another box is brought out that's empty, and the people continue to vote. They just move the boxes back and forth, but they're escorted. Nobody is able to get the votes out of the precinct without full attention of somebody. And the votes are tallied right there in the precinct. Within 24 hours, you know who you're elected. Why can't we do that here?
Yeah, and we should also have the ability to put in a write-in candidate. They say that's there, but in many places. But
the only time a write-in works is when it's like a local election for a custodian or a
dog catcher.
broadcaster. A sheriff. In Louisiana, we've had two write-in sheriffs in the sheriff election in two of the parishes, and we've had five clerks, circuit clerks for the court on write-ins that overwhelmed both the Republican and the Democratic Party. In Arkansas, we've had, I think, about 16 constables that have won election on write-in in this state. But those are local, just to the local community, nothing big on a national scale. But we should have that. And I honestly feel this, that there should be some kind of a stone set up for how much money a man can spend or how much, can he personally can put forth for his election. These guys spending, say, $800 million. Or let's go to one that's even close to home. Let's go to McCain. McCain spent $20 million for an office job that holds that pays $165,000 a year. He spent $20 million of his own money.
That means there's a lot of kickbacks on the side, then, doesn't it?
There's something wrong. I mean, I can't understand why the American people don't see that. I really don't. Anyway, we've got, I know of six, then there's possibly going to be as many as 16 of the 33 senators that are up for election that are going to be kicked out of office. Now, that's Republican and Democrat. That's not all Democrats. There are 12 Democratic senators that are set to lose. Blanche Lincoln in Arkansas is leading the list, is one of the more outspoken ones. And DeMint is another one out there that is outspoken. But what's his name? Harry Reid. Harry Reid is possibly on his way out in Nevada. And that's going to be a major blow to the Obama administration.
Yeah. You know, I like your idea about, a one-term congressman. In light of that, It would appear that, when they know somebody's going to be in a long time because of who's pulling the strings, they can take their time asking for favors. And, of course, you have all these lobbyists that have secret ways of funneling money into either the campaign coffers of these individuals or into offshore bank accounts. And there ought to be a very severe penalty for accepting monies like that, because that just corrupts the system. You see, it wouldn't matter if it's 2 years; they'll every 2 years they'll just kick out more money.
Exactly. And I look at this real simple. One third of the Senate. Well, we have every November there's an election in just about 75% of all the states. Well, what's wrong with one-third of the Senate being elected every year? So one-third of the Senate gets elected for a three-year term. That means every 3 years there's a complete turnaround in the United States Senate. And then every 2 years the U.S. congressmen go in for reelection. And I feel that they should be term-limited out as well. But have the states divided up to where the two-year term is one half of Congress is voted this year, and then the other half. So we take the 50 states, or we take the congressmen from all the states, and then divide them out to where the congressmen elected, 50% of the Congress is elected brand new every year. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, one of the problems I see is the way the states have two senators each, and then the larger states have more congressmen, and that really sets the foundation for the whole political machine.
Understand.
The whole game.
Now we can the only other alternative that I see is that senators serve 1 3-year term. If the American people are going to vote for the senators serve one 3-year term, and then the state legislature of every one of the states every year, one third of the states vote through the state legislature vote for one of their congressmen or both. I don't know how. I haven't sat down and worked this all the way down, Don, but what I'm looking at is trying to return America to the people in today's society and do away with this repetitive, in-your-face, reelected to office where they get elected, and all they do for 2 years after they're elected is make sure that they're lying to somebody and their constituents and to be elected again in 2 more years, and senators are just as bad. We've got to get away from this aristocratic state of government that we've allowed as Americans, failing our due diligence. We have allowed our nation to become nothing more than dukes and kings and queens and knights and bishops. You just stop and think about where you want to go, ladies and gentlemen. The President of the United States is the king. Okay, the vice president on the chessboard would be the queen. The dukes.
And you don't know how accurate that is, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty. You know, and then the bishop would be in a chessboard. One bishop would be the leader of the Senate. The other bishop would be the leader of the House. Okay, and then the knights would be the adjacent party in each of the Senate. In the House, and then you've got the castles would be other power men or women in the House of Representatives and the Senate, running the powerful Ways and Means Committee for one, and then the Armed Services Committee for the other, and we the people are nothing more than the pawns, and we're being moved around the chessboard and thrown off to the wolves. And our money is what pays for this, Don. I see the impeachable offenses that Obama's doing, and if we had an honest government, Obama has committed 9 impeachable offenses in the last year alone. I mean, this is the 9th month. In the last 8 months, since January the 6th, he's committed 9 impeachable offenses.
Well, and he made his latest Supreme Court appointment to Elena Kagan, who handled all the birth certificate cases for him.
And that in and of itself is biased way big time. It's like a payoff. Okay, you keep this off. And Obama comes in and says this birth certificate thing issue is done deal. Well, I'm dead. I'm not going to sit here and fight this for my – ladies and gentlemen, he hasn't come forth and given us squat. It's not a done deal. And have you heard the latest about Lieutenant Colonel Larkin?
Yes, I have. He's got some backup from a retirement.
He's got a backup with a 3-star general, but yeah. The latest came down this afternoon at 4 o'clock where the judge ruled that he couldn't have discovery.
Isn't that interesting?
Denied discovery. This is a common law right of discovery to know to give information and get information from the people that are trying to put you in jail, and we're talking about his whole premise is he doesn't want to go fight a war when there's an illegal man sitting in office. And a three-star general for the Air Force has stood up in support. We've got two-star generals, full-bird colonels, lieutenant colonels, other majors, captains throughout the military. And the United States military is fed up with all these lies.
Yeah. You know, looking at this, the way they worded what has to go down in this trial, looks like they're trying to set legal precedents that all other cases will be handled the same way. And it's all based on lies. It's all based on lies, and they know it is. We're not making an exaggeration here. So the arguments that they're making that he shouldn't have to do this or that he's bothered by doing this, he's not going to answer all of these bogus charges because they come on the Internet. Isn't that where he allegedly placed it so all the bogus people on the Internet could see his bogus document? Oh, man, talk about the pot calling the kettle black. It's the same thing, same mind game over and over. So I see this as a setup, you know, to be honest with you. So go ahead, Joe. Didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, where am I going? I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to sit here. I got things to do, man. I need two more hands and another 10 hours a day just to get caught up.
Well, what you always have a lot of interactive commentary from your listeners. You got anybody throwing any questions our way or any comments?
Oh, I want to tell you, I had to reboot my computer here just before the show on all three of them because of all the problems. I just got a pop up from a lieutenant colonel who just told me that Jeff Green has lost his election in the Democratic Senate primary on August the 27th. That was just last week. And what came about there was his opponent got support from who? The Jewish lobbyist gave his opponent. The U.S. Senator Olympia Snow, you know, there's another Republican that's on the bandwagon out there. She may lose her election because she voted for a few things about Obama. And I just got the pop-up that Harry Reid is losing in Nevada by 12 points right now.
Oh,
and he may, you know, that's a long way to go when your same party affiliate is beating you in your own party.
Yeah.
I mean, these are in the military. You were asking about military men. Military men are waking up. They feel that they're putting their lives on the line. And because they're putting their lives on the line, they have a right to vote, and they have a right to get out there and say, hey, look, I don't like this. These people are going to lead me and tell me to go die, and they're not even – they haven't even lived in the United States and understood what the freedoms of America are, quoting one corporal that says Obama – may have lived in the United States the last 15 years, but I look at the fact that what did he do for 15 years? He worked for communist organizations, and yet he turns around and sends me over here to Afghanistan to die for what? For poppy?
Yeah.
He sent back to the United States?
Yeah, that's it. You know, that was the reason for kicking the Taliban out of Afghanistan. They had just about eradicated the poppy crops, and they couldn't have that. Mm-hmm. That's a big cash cow for the Department of Defense, NASA, and all their covert operations. And then, you know, the pharmaceutical companies sure make a heck of a profit off of all that, all those drugs that are smuggled into the country. Oh, those are legal, because that's for legitimate medicine, you know. Oh, we could go off another 3 hours if we open up that can of worms. But, yeah, they're right. And that's part of what Pat Tillman was going to spill his guts about, which is why they murdered him. And
his father, and his, why you bring that up? Pat Tillman was a major football star. He gave up a career, ladies and gentlemen, $2 million a year on a guaranteed contract for 4 years, without even going to do a down. He was going to get $8 million, and instead he joins the United States Army in the 101st Airborne Rangers. Went to Afghanistan and real fast found out that, wait a minute, what are we doing here in Afghanistan? There's something wrong. He found out what was really going on in Afghanistan and the real truth, and he started blogging back to the United States. And who was he talking to, Don? He wasn't talking to mainstream media. He had already tried. He was talking to other pro football players, telling them what was going on and rallying them around. And these other football players were going to give him support. And if he had come home alive, it would have been 1968 all over again, with a grassroots anti-war movement that would have been led by a public figure that was in pro football. How many pro football players do you think he could have got on his bandwagon, Don?
Oh, a bunch, I would venture to say.
And believe it or not, as dumb as pro football players are, they have, each one of them have somebody out there that has that's a following, and we're not talking about a little following. We're talking about gargantuan following. And if Trey Prather had come back, Trey Prather from LSU had come back to the United States alive in 1968, I feel the same thing would have happened then. He was killed as a United States Marine in combat, but he was literally, his whole detachment was killed by the Viet Cong.
Mm-hmm.
Different circumstances. But Pat Tillman, on the other hand, the government tried to cover it up, make him a hero, and give him a Silver Star that wasn't earned. And his other men started talking to Pat's father and mother, and their attitude was Pat would be turning over in his grave, because that was not the type of man that Pat Tillman was. He didn't believe in living on lies. He wanted to live on truth. And the government tried to buy the silence of Pat Tillman's father and mother and family and friends, and it didn't go over. And Pat Tillman's father told several generals where to take their posterior and set it on, what they could do and go what they can go set on. And we're talking about an iron poker, ladies and gentlemen.
So, well, you know, this goes back into the history of the East India Company, and all the wars that have been waged in Southeast Asia over the years. You see a pattern.
What about the Great Opium Wars of 1838 to 1842? A lot of people think that, well, the Opium Wars were really in 1898 to 1902 with the Boxer Rebellion in Shanghai. No. The Great Opium Wars of 1838 was when the British and the Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company were bringing hordes of opium into China. From where? From India. The Indian state was a colony. It was basically conquered by the British, and they were bringing opium from India. And ladies and gentlemen, a lot of you may not know, Pakistan was part of India in 1838, and Afghanistan was also part of India in 1838. So you can imagine, Don, there was a lot of opium being raised there in the Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company.
Mm-hmm.
Did the dastardly deed. Remember, I don't know, Don, you're old enough to remember A&P, don't you?
Absolutely, Atlantic and Pacific.
A&P,
They were
A&T Grocery Store was a British owned grocery company in the United States, and most Americans didn't even know it until the A&T stores started closing down around America because the British government had some form of a tariff on them along with the United States, and they decided they would just close down their grocery stores.
Yeah, many of them were bought out by Kroger.
Over half were bought out by a fledgling company called Kroger Enterprises Incorporated.
Mm-hmm. Good old Irish.
And a bunch more were bought out by the Safeway company. The
mm-hmm.
ones on the Pacific Coast were bought out by the Safeway company out of I think it was their home office at that time was back out there. We just have forgotten what history is. We're not being told the truth anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we haven't been told the truth.
Yeah, we haven't from the beginning, actually. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you were to...
By the way, I've got an economist that went to school with me, and he sent me a note this evening after my radio show
mm-hmm.
To advise me that he enjoyed the show with Bob Chapman, and he feels that, and I'll quote him, he said, "Drew, get ready for 7 years of a major economic weak growth, and extremely high unemployment. And whether one looks at the advanced economics of the states as a whole or individually, there are some states that are going to prosper, such as North Dakota, with only a 3.6 unemployment rate, and Vermont and South Dakota. But there are states like New York, California, Florida, Ohio, and Arizona are going to collapse financially. It's just a matter of which one is going to get to the finish line to collapse first, California, Florida, or Ohio."
Well, California's been collapsing for years. So when you consider 20 years ago, it was the 10th largest world economy. And more recently, I think it's been ranked 8th in the world. And yet
at one time, it was ranked 7th. The state of California at one time was ranked 7th. In the world, if you pulled it out of the United States and made it its own separate identity country, and the United States would still rank number one after it lost California as a separate entity to be number 7. The United States would still be number 1.
Mm-hmm.
And you could pull Texas out, and Texas would be 16th. And Florida would be 20th. And the United States, the rest of the United States, would still be number 5 in the world.
Yeah. Well, there's been a concerted effort. And I know Bush and Cheney were involved in a lot of this. Cheney was really the mastermind of breaking up American companies, stealing the pension funds, and then setting up the owners as those who allegedly stole the funds, and then taking the companies away. And this has been done to many successful companies that had new ownership or some that had been around for years, just mm-hmm. doing their regular business. And we're talking huge amounts of funds where people have actually overheard conversations between lawyers and judges in the cafeterias of the courthouses on cell phones where they're negotiating how much of a cut everybody's going to get on these swindles. This is people in the government orchestrating this.
Well, let's look at this. I mean, everybody out there is listening to Obama, but they're not paying attention to what Obama's saying. It's like a lot of white people voted for Obama because they wanted to be one of the first voters to help bring a black man to the presidency. And they never really sat down to think, well, wait a minute. Let's stop and look at this. If you go back into the 1700s, we had a president that was his mother was black and his father was Creole. That's half black and or part black, part Indian, and part British or French.
French, but most likely, yeah.
Most likely more French than British. And these are some of the one of the presidents that were before George Washington, ladies and gentlemen. It's all in history books. But people weren't paying attention to what would happen. And we didn't really have a choice. You know, you had illegal president on the left and illegal president on the right, because John McCain was not properly born in the United States according to the original constitutional intent.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are right now. Obama's coming out, and he's saying that he needs support from the United States Senate and to help, and Congress to help him increase the economy. And Bernanke, who runs the Federal Reserve, comes out and says, well, we've got to shut down big banks if they're threatening the collapse of the financial system before the economy completely collapses.
Shut them down. What are they going to do with all the money they stole? That's the first.
Where is the money they stole?
Well, yeah.
It's not what they're going to do with it. Where is it? We've got this FDIC chairman, Sheila Bair, said the states are high on regulations to effectively exercise their new powers over banks. Well, what are we doing here? We're letting the wolves control the chicken coops around the United States, and they're doing their dastardly deed. We're going to wake up, Don. We're going to wake up one morning, and even our coins, which are true money for the United States, real money for the United States, our coins are already not worth what they're supposed to be. They're not minted the way they're supposed to be. There's no silver in any of our coins. There's hardly any copper in a copper penny anymore. The copper penny, the real copper penny, cost about 7 cents to make. And the copper pennies they're making right now have a dash of lead and mostly brass. And it cost seven tenths of one penny to make it, but actuality, if you melt it down, it ain't got squat. It ain't worth nothing.
So unless you're looking,
we're losing. We've lost our silver and our quarters. Our quarters have dated down. We don't have. There is no silver in a quarter anymore. So look around. Have you seen any half dollars out there? No. I don't see any half dollars. Anybody's got half dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Silver dollars?
I remember dollars. Some years ago when they came out with the Susan B. Anthony doll. Anthony. You remember that?
Do you see this new dollar they got going now with George Washington's picture on it?
The one that left off in God We Trust?
Yep. And if you go to the post office, ladies and gentlemen, the stamp machine out there that's in the lobby, put $5 in there and buy one stamp that cost 80 cents and then hit the finish button, you'll get four of these new dollars and two dimes back. Guarantee it. It's mind-boggling.
Well, yeah, and what are those made up of?
I don't know what they're made of. I haven't gotten one yet. I just had a friend of mine call me and said, Drew, I was at the post office today, and I needed a couple of stamps. So I went over to the machine, I bought a couple of stamps. It cost me 88 cents, and I had to buy 2 1-cent stamps to so I could get change, and it kicked me back these four funny looking quarters, and they were brass gold plated, looked like. So I looked at them real close, got George Washington on it, and it says United States dollar. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have "In God We Trust" on it. It's got it on the rim around the edge on one coin, but the other three of the coins didn't have anything printed on it. I want to know what the heck's going on. I couldn't tell him. I don't know.
Yeah, they announced that some time ago, that particular coin. So they're distributing them through the post office then.
Yep.
I haven't seen them in any stores, to tell you the truth. So, well, not that it matters a whole lot. None of it's worth very much anyway. They're all debt instruments.
There's a movie out there. I've got it on a DVD. I'm sorry. I got it on a VHS disc, VHS tape. It's called Wild in the Streets from 1972. I think it's 1972. And this is a depiction of the collapse of the United States where in one 90-second clip, they show adults standing in front of the White House with a 55-gallon drum trying to stay warm, and they're burning bales of U.S. currency. Bales, ladies and gentlemen, like a hay bale. Because the $10 and $20 bills that they were burning were not worth anything. One sign over on the side, loaf of bread, $20,000. $20 bills only. Money, paper money ain't worth squat, ladies and gentlemen. And coin money, what the heck? I did a show, Don, 3 hours long last Sunday on money, and I learned real fast last weekend that I don't care who prints the money. I just want to control the value of whatever the money is backed by, and I'd be the richest man in the world. I could control everything. It does. Gold does not have to be a backing. Silver is not a backing, because if you can have anything back, it's just the faith and credit of the government. Andrew Jackson knew that. That's why he wouldn't allow a bank. And Andrew Jackson was the last president to literally pay off the national debt, and the United States didn't owe anybody a dime. And the next president that came along that almost brought that same scenario was Chester A. Arthur. And Chester A. Arthur did it with tariffs. Products made in other countries coming to the United States, properly taxed with tariff, so Americans would have jobs in the United States in food, clothing, machinery that was made in other countries. If it could be made in the United States, there was a distinctive tariff placed on those things that made the cost of those made in other countries the same value as if they were made in the United States, plus a little bit more. Chester A. Arthur was not elected to the presidency. He took office after President Garfield was murdered. And why was President Garfield murdered? Because he wanted to reintroduce the greenback dollar that Abraham Lincoln put forth, backed by gold and silver. The $2 gold piece in paper, $5 gold piece in paper, $10 gold piece in paper, $20 gold pieces in gold would be paper backed by gold and silver, and the $100 bill and the $500 bill and the $1,000 bill would be backed by silver. Those were his philosophies within his first 90 days in office, but he got shot in the right side of his kidney a lot of people forget that everybody's out there, Don, thinks that Lincoln and Kennedy were the only two presidents assassinated. I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. Bankers have been killing leaders around the world for centuries.
Yeah, you bring something to mind, too. It's all these governments that have some variation of what we have here in the States, the Federal Reserve. In Europe, it's the European Union. And it's just as corrupt. It's the same type of debt-based economy, money out of thin air, and no accountability. See, all these countries, these governments are conscripted to this bogus financial system, as if these entities are righteous. Somehow they're looking out for the well-being of those they allegedly represent in their organizational capacity. And you have in our country right now, what we're experiencing is a Secretary of State or a president who is kowtowing to the UN, which is it's really not a legitimate organization whatsoever. What standing does the UN have to dictate to the United States or to the people of the United States that they have to sign over their civil rights outlined in the Bill of Rights and in the Constitution? That there's no legal standing for that. Certainly not lawful. And yet that's what's going on in the financial community, and they're controlling the governments with that very system. So you have a Secretary of State that's committing treason by dealing with outsiders and making treaties, making agreements that have no basis whatsoever in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with me on that, or?
No, I'm on with you. I'm with you 100%. Big time. I mean big time. Okay, I'm just 110 soldier. I'm not going to go quiet tonight. I'm going to bring the truth out there, and I'm going to scream bloody murder. Okay, because we're having, you know, my personal viewpoint is, it's an outrage the way we the people, are being treated by these elitists who are padding the books for their buddies. That's why McCain wanted to pay $20 million to be reelected. That was all that was about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes no sense to spend that much money. It would take him, what do people know about what kind of money they get on the, in the back room? Their salaries and $187,000 something? They give themselves regular pay raises. And they bicker over what the minimum wage is going to be for people here. Of course, that's if there's even a job available. Where does this money come from? How does it just keep going up and up and up and up in debt instruments? Where's the basis on that? You see, so the problems we have with other countries are provoked by forcing these companies to subscribe to this bogus financial system.
Mm-hmm.
Or threaten them with war. You see, it's just organized crime. I keep saying this every show. And then I ask that rhetorical question, why aren't these people in jail? For the rest of their life.
Oh, wait a minute, hold it. Some of them need to be in jail. Guaranteed. I have no problem with that, but I have a big time problem with going. The rest of them need to be in jail. The rest of them need to be put in front of a firing squad.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's about five or six out there that need to be. I've got this fire ant pit on my property where I dig up fire ants from my neighbor's property and I put them in my fire ant pit and I burn them. That's a nice place for me to put them in and let them sit there and squalor for a little while. Four.
Let them deal with the fire ants for a while.
You know, my personal viewpoint is that if Andy Jackson was alive today, if Major General Smedley Darlington Butler was alive today, if General Chesty Poor were alive today, if General Lejeune was alive today, I guarantee you there would be enough Marines out there, former, active duty, retired, that would come out of the woodwork, and we would march. And this is what's going to have to happen. I personally believe, Don, this isn't a third. We're not a banana republic. This isn't a third world country. Our officers and enlisted personnel are the most educated military in the world. And we all understand as military men the oath that we've taken to specifically guard the Constitution and understand it. And military leaders are going to have to stand up and say, okay, the quagmire has now reached up to my nose, and if I don't do something now, I myself am going to fall and falter. That's what's about to happen. This nation is going to collapse if we don't take it back. And the military may have to do what is, God forbid, the one thing that's probably going to take this country and turn it around, and that is for our military to come in, take names, kick posterior, and return the United States Senate, the United States Congress, and the President, and the Vice President, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the Supreme Court back to the people. Our Constitution, our elected officials, the way they are elected, and the terms of office should be revisited, and our Constitution must be redefined and fine-tuned. We don't need to start all over with a blank sheet of paper. We've got the greatest document for the people, we the people, in the history of man. We just need to refine it. Thomas Jefferson felt that a little revolution every 10 years or so would be good for the country. The blood of the tyrants and the blood of the patriot should and must be spilt so the nation itself could be the greatest nation in the world. Thomas Jefferson saw the writings on the wall. He saw the manipulation of the Zionists in 1807, as he was getting ready to leave office. He saw the manipulation of the secret societies. And the only president that came up and felt that the secret societies were more dangerous than armies of other worlds was President Adams, John Quincy Adams. And John Quincy Adams remained president for 4 years. He didn't get enough vote in the Electoral College to take a second term. But the point here is he did not give up his duty. There was no retirement for the president. He had to go out and get a job. And he for 2 years, he didn't do squat except work in the Adams family business there in Boston, and then he ran for Congress and became a representative. And we're talking about the only president of the United States to take the office of Congress.
Yeah, I think they ought to
be a congressman.
I think they ought to do away with the Electoral College too.
I think the Electoral College is proper if it was done properly, but it's not done properly.
No, it's not.
And I feel that the only people that should be voting, the only people that have a right to vote are the landowners, because landowners pay taxes. People that rent don't pay taxes. They have learned, the people that rent have learned to suck the milk out of the breast of the beast being the government.
Well, in the cases where you have Section 8 housing that's paid for through government programs, yes.
Exactly. People,
but the renters are paying the taxes for the property owner, in a sense, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not disagreeing with what you're
well,
saying.
No. The property owners just raise the taxes. I mean, raise the rent.
To cover the tax. Yeah. But
to cover the taxes, but the renter doesn't understand that and doesn't know, you know, really care about that.
Yeah. I understand your meaning. I'm just making that distinction.
Understood.
Because somebody pays.
You know?
It's always somebody paying. They may not show us exactly.
This is the problem we have. People that are renters don't care. They just say, well, we get more money, and they don't understand that this it's a vicious cycle. We'll vote this guy in, even though he's going to raise the taxes. Well, we don't have to worry about him raising taxes because we rent. Well, they don't understand that their rent's going to go up unless they're in Section 8 housing. Mm-hmm. We've got to get rid of this government welfare state that we've got ourselves in. It started in 1933, emphasized under Johnson administration in the 60s and expanded, and then pushed even higher by Senator Kennedy through his manipulation in the 70s when Carter was the president. And again, after Clinton came in office in the 90s, more government spending and welfare and milk from the breast of the beast was spilled out. And there are people, I've got a science project in front of my house, in a 40 acre, apartment complex, that's got a steel fence. That's 8 feet high all the way around this thing. It's basically what it is. It's a prison. But I've got in this science project, there are women, white and black, with 2, 3, and 4 kids, no husbands, 2, 3, and 4 kids living in this complex. There's one lady over there, the Caucasian race, has 3 kids. She's paying $25 a month for a 3-bedroom apartment, all bills paid. She's on welfare. There's a black lady over there that's got 2 kids. She's paying $25 a month for a 3-bedroom. She's paying the same thing for a 3-bedroom. Apartment because she has a boy and a girl, and the boy has to have the male sex children have to have a bedroom to themselves, and the female children have to have a room to themselves, even though they're only 2 years old. You go figure.
Mm-hmm.
And she has her boyfriend shacking up with her, and she's getting, guess what, ladies and gentlemen, $1,500 a month in food stamps, and Medicaid is paid for. And her kids, while she's out trying to find a job, she can check her kids into any of the daycare centers that's in a quarter of a mile of this place, and the government pays her at the end of the month. And she, to be quite honest with you, just to give you a description of this woman, you ever been on an airplane where they've got the seats off to the left and there's 3 of them on one side and 2 on the other?
Oh, sure, yeah.
She would take up the 3 seats on the right. Period. She couldn't sit on the 2 seats on the left. She couldn't sit in them. They wouldn't hold her. That's how big she is.
Does she pay for 3 tickets?
I would assume she would have to, but I have no idea. I've never seen the woman. You know, she barely gets out of her apartment and comes down to watch her kids go to the school. And she does that diligently every day. She leans up against the side of the building. I've been kind of worried. She gets out there around the gate. And she leans on the gate, and I've been worried that gate's going to collapse on her because she leans on it, and it's just going to collapse. She's going to fall down. It's dead gum. I'd hate to get out there and have to pick that 50-pound woman up. 5 foot 5, 450 pounds. And you ever seen a duck waddle? She waddles like a duck. But that's the sign. That's what I see in America. We've got too many hand-me-outs. Give it, gimme, gimme, gimme. And not enough workers, and a job being thrown overseas, and no tariffs on products made overseas. Why should, what can happen here, ladies and gentlemen, if shoes made in Bangladesh where kids 12, 14 years old are paid a quarter a day, 25 cents to manufacture Nike tennis shoes that sell in the United States for $150.
Or higher.
And higher.
Yeah.
Not or, and higher.
Yeah.
And if those tennis shoes were made in the United States, the cost of the worker to make them, it would probably cost about $20. Where's all the profit going on here? And unions are destroying America. But where do we go from here, ladies and gentlemen? We have got to take America back, just like I said earlier. The military may have to, and I personally believe, Don, that our military should stand up and take this country back, set it in order, and then give us a little redefining definitions of how what we should do, and vote, and get this, take our country back to the point where you want to be a representative in Congress? Fine, we don't care. You get elected just like the Texas Constitution in 1840. The representatives in the state legislature of Texas, their legislature, maximum four years is as congressman. Based on the United States congressional setup, congressmen would come to the state legislature in Austin. They could serve a maximum of 2 years. They could serve a maximum of one term additionally as a state senator. It also had a little thing in there that no elected official to the House of Representatives or the state senate would serve more than 10 years in government service, with the exception that they could run for the president of Texas or vice president. And the vice president of Texas would serve six years, one term. Repeat that, 6 years, one term, and he's out. No retirement. Why are we paying millions of dollars a year for these former presidents who are out there? They fly on our tax dollars because they served as president for 4 or 8 years, and they go and do a speech, and they're paid to stand there in front of an auditorium, have dinner, get up on the podium, and talk for 45 minutes, and they're paid $250,000. They don't need your tax money. They don't need your bodyguards. The minute the president's office is changed hands, all the codes on the football is the armament, is the thing that controls the military in case of war. All security codes are changed the morning it happened, the morning the government changes hands from one president to the next. It doesn't go over a few weeks. The codes, the passwords, and everything stays exactly like it is until 2 hours before the new president takes his oath of office. I feel that the outgoing president we owe him a due diligent course of protection for 2 years, maximum.
Provided they give us a legitimate certificate of live birth that proves that they were born in America, on American soil.
I'm at the visitation point of nobody can run for president unless there's four witnesses to prove that you were born in the United States. I don't give a hoot about a piece of paper because I can forge a piece of paper. That's what Obama's done.
Oh, yeah. Well, and they can't be movie stars.
Movie stars have brains? Did you see where Sarah Palin, what's her name? Brittany, no. Paris Hilton was arrested in Las Vegas the other day and they didn't even put her in a jail cell. They gave her, they took her fingerprints, called, and she called somebody up on the phone, and they came down and picked her up, and she had an ounce of cocaine in a purse, not a gram, an ounce of cocaine in her purse, in her car, driving on Main Drag in Las Vegas, and a little radical at that. She was weaving, and they did not take a drug test, a breathalyzer test. They didn't do squat. They took her to jail, arrested her, because she had this ounce of cocaine in the back seat of the car in her purse, and it was opened up for the police officer to see it. And that's what they arrested her for. If it had been you, Don Nikoloff, or Don Newsom, they'd have put us underneath the jail and fed the key to a shark. We'd have never seen the outside.
Well, you never know what goes on behind closed doors in those situations, but you know somebody got some money somewhere along the line. Or somebody's about to get a bunch of money.
I wouldn't say somebody, a bunch of somebody.
Yeah. Well, Drew, we're out of time here, but I want to...
You're always out of time, Don. I've got a clock on my wall, and it never runs out.
We are out of time, not just me. So I want to give you an opportunity, tell people about your news and views, your website, and your radio show, if you will.
All right. Okay, I got half an hour? Yeah, okay. We can do that in half an hour. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Drew Malone Raines III. I am a United States Marine from 1967 to 1977, honorably resigned my commission and left the Corps because I felt the United States Marine Corps was being manipulated at the top. My great-great uncle is Major General Smedley Darlington Butler, United States Marine Corps. My father was Corporal George Calvin Raines. I'm named after the family of Drew, the family of Malone, and the family of Raines. I'm the third member of the family to carry the name, and I honorably move it forward. I have a website, Quebec, Ulysses, India Tango Yankee. It's amd.elequity.com. My news and views is posted there. The people that I've investigated, websites that I investigate, products that I use and support because they are the best on the market, are posted on my website. Nobody pays me one dime to support them. I support them because they're the best at what they do. I send the news and views out to 28,000 people every morning, 5 days a week, sometimes six, sometimes seven. A lot of it depends on how much sleep I get and what's going on in the world that people need to know. The news and views is about stories and articles that are not primarily in all of the mainstream medias. Sometimes they're in the Boston Globe, but they're not in the New Orleans Times-Picayune or the Dallas Herald. Ladies and gentlemen, my news and views is free. They're archived. The archives, there's an archive folder there that goes back 6 years. I've been doing news and views since 1994. I've published this freely so my friends in the military can find the truth without having to spend hours going through the BS that's on news sites. They usually contain about anywhere from 35 to 50 new direct linked articles on the military, on news, on food and survival and finance. I do a radio show every Sunday through Friday, 2 hours a day from 1600 hours, that's 4 o'clock for those of you in Chicago, to 6 p.m. in Chicago, 1,800 hours to my military, and around the world, it's 1,900 hours to 2,100 hours, except on Sundays. I'm beginning to do three-hour shows on Sundays with a three-hour rant on specific things. Like last week, it was about the money changers and who controls money. And the website is free. The radio programs are free. Wind Talkers Radio Network is 183 radio stations around the world strong, and we're not dedicated to anybody. We play what we want in our own little venue, and we'd like for you to come pay attention to us. And some of you are listening on that Wind Talker Radio Network right now because we broadcast Don Nikoloff live on 111 stations, and then the other 71 stations carry his show on a repeat. Only one network, only one Wind Talker does not carry his show. Only one out of 183. And why? Because they have other languages that they broadcast in. Think about it. There's a lot of truth out there. America is not what you say, numerino. America is just one of the flock, and we've got to start thinking about the rest of the people of this world and not be looking down on them. And that's what we at Wind Talkers are trying to do, unite BBS radio and the other alternative radios out there to give an alternative news to you. And I appreciate the time with Don Nikoloff, who is a great investigator, goes down the rabbit hole and writes. And where he gets the time to write, you know, that I do news and views. Don Nikoloff writes articles. It takes me 4 hours a day to do my news and views. Don Nikoloff spends at least that every day to write one page of information that he investigates. I hope and pray that you will take time out to pray to the Creator in your own way and understand we're all going in the same direction, one way or the other, down the line. And thank you, Don. God bless you.
Drew, thank you, and well said. I want to let the listeners know that you'll be back with us again next week, and I look forward to that time. If they need a date.
No. You're going to be with me on Monday.
Yeah, I'll be with you.
I get to yell and scream at you.
First things first. You'll be back here on the 9th or the 10th, depending on where you are in the world, Thursday night or early Friday morning. Some places it's Friday afternoon already. So, yes, and I'll be on your show next Monday, the 6th. So, thank you, Drew, and I wish you
wait a minute. You did say, did you say it was afternoon? Okay, you're right. Okay.
Yeah. Well, at least over here.
In Brisbane, Australia, it's 1,600 hours.
1620. Okay. So, with that, I'm going to say goodnight to our listeners. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. And tonight's special guest, Drew Malone Raines III. Also, we want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network and also blogtalkradio.com. They're broadcasting the show when I'm on with Drew, so they deserve kudos as well.
And
over at BBS Radio tonight.
Blessings to Jane out there in Arizona, who's one of your greatest fans.
Oh, yes, Jane is great. And she remembers Kroger, by the way.
She remembers A&P.
And A&P. and A&P. So you see, I was right.
yeah.
All right. Anyway, join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist inventor Jim Murray. Want to thank Don Newsom for the sound over at BBS Radio, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.